This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Scotland Outdoors Podcast from BBC Radio Scotland.
That's better. Just had a very comfortable night in the Winnock Hotel in Drummen. Fine tea last night. But I just decided to get up and away. It's about 6:30 in the morning. They don't start serving breakfast for about another hour. And I've got itchy feet. I'm just keen to get on the go. Today, it's a journey in two stages. First half will take me to Balmaha, past Conic Hill. Now, Conic Hill's got really good views across Loch Lomond, so I'm kind of hopeful that the cloud's gone up a bit. It's hard to tell at the moment, which will give me the views, because otherwise it's kind of pointless. And then from Balmaha to Rawardennan. So that's all beside that section, Loch Lomond. So I have to say, it's nice to be back out in the fresh air again.
When the summer comes again, then there's music in the glen, for the sun has sent all winter far away. And the mavis with his song tells me there's where I belong, stepping out on the West Highland Way. I'll be there.
You're listening to Out of Doors on BBC Radio Scotland. I'm Mark Stephen. And this is day two of my walk up the West Highland Way.
And with every mile I say, how I bless the happy day when I first took the West Highland Way.
You don't actually need views to make this worthwhile. When you come out of Garvan Forest, you enter open moorland, and all the guidebooks again say, oh, fabulous views. Yeah, not today. But I've come down the hill into this wee glade, and it's surrounded by bracken, which is turning colour. So some of it is green, some of it is golden, and some of it is that fabulous copper colour. But there's things like scabious and marsh grass, and everything is covered in cobwebs. And the cobwebs are all limbed in dew. And it's just, it's an arresting sight, you know. You have to stop and actually take a look at it. And there's a footbridge down here, across a wee burn. I think this is the Burn of Mar. And this is lovely too. Leaves just turning colour. There's hawthorn, beech, rowan, aspen further up. Just listen to that. Past two groups of people camping up in the moor. I didn't want to disturb either of them. Although I did. I gave the first one a fright because I was talking to myself. I felt like saying, don't worry, don't worry. It's what radio presenters do, don't worry. Difficult to explain these things. And the second lot was a mum and I think it was two daughters. They'd camped up there overnight because this is just outside the camping restriction zone in the national park. So they're, what they're doing is perfectly legal. It's just great that we've got access to all this.
It's undoubtedly a very successful route. It's Scotland's first long-distance route. I would like to say it's best loved as well. My name is Jane McGeary and I'm the West Highland Way Business Development Manager. I mean, it's inspired lots of people in lots of different ways. Some people take on the challenge to raise money. Some have it as personal challenges, or it might be to remember somebody special. There's the various races that take place as well, and so people who've done it in the fastest time. And
what is the fastest time?
It's around 14 hours, I think less than 14 hours.
14?
Yes.
1-4?
Uh-huh.
That's just obscene.
I know. There's been cycle attempts as well, and looking to go under 10 hours for cycling. And you'll know yourself, there's many sections that you can't very easily ride a bike.
No, yeah, you have to pick it up and actually run with a flipping thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It just as an economic driver, for because it passes through some fairly remote areas, it's had a huge impact.
Absolutely. It supports many small communities along the way, places like Balmahar even, but then further up you've got Bridge of Orkey and Inveroran, Tyndrum, Kinlochleven. So there's lots of sort of small communities where the West Highland Way is a very important part of the community.
The one thing I need to ask you about is this gift that you gave me, this official passport hanging around my neck. What's the point in that?
There's a route map inside where you can get stamps at passport points, as they're called, along the way. So getting an official West Highland Way passport is a great souvenir for you to keep as a memory of your walk. And it's also a way of supporting the way itself, because a lot of investment goes into maintaining the path and making sure that it's an enjoyable experience for everybody.
You may not be old enough to remember sticker books. Do you remember sticker books?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you peel them off and you've created pictures.
Uh-huh.
On the passport, if you'd something similar but with blister plasters.
Yes, I think they might come in handy, definitely.
Far away from the city, far away from care. And with every mile I say, how I bless the happy day when I first took the West Highland Way.
Sometimes God smiles on the righteous, but due to an administrative error, the rest of us managed to cop it too. Standing at the very top of Connick Hill, and it's windy, and for the last 2.5 hours, I've been walking through mist. And it's still misty, don't get me wrong, but every so often, it blows open, about like opening a curtain, drawing back a veil. And I'm getting the views right the way down to Loch Lomond. And as all the guidebooks say, Loch Lomond is the biggest expanse of fresh water in Great Britain. It's a fair chunk of water. I only found out recently that this is actually a fresh water supply for central Scotland. Every day, they take 450 million litres out of that loch. Now, all those cups of tea and showers and car washes and dish washes and clothes washes managed to drop the level of the loch by exactly 1/4 inch, 6 millimetres. There's an awful lot of water in that. Just when the cloud parted there, looking across the loch, you can see what looks like a chain of islands. It's actually a ridge. That delineates the Highland boundary fault. Yes, McIlwraith, no programme goes untouched by the hammer blow of geology. I'm going to teach you if it kills me. Basically, the Highland boundary fault runs from, well, in Scotland, Loch Ranza and Arran, right the way diagonally across the country, and it pops out at Stonehaven, just south of where I stay. If you're on the south of the line, you're in the lowlands, and as the name suggests, if you go to the north of the line, you find yourself in the Highlands. And it's very different terrains between the two. I'm awfully glad I came up this way. I just did it as a punt, thinking, okay, it's longer and it's higher, but it might clear. And it did, just for the necessary minute and a half. Thank you, whoever's responsible for that.
My school holidays in 1982, I did...
It was 1982, I did it first.
Well, there you go, maybe I bumped into you.
That's Gordon Watson, chief executive of the Loch Lomond and Trossachs National Park, just remembering the time he first did the West Highland Way.
I think it's perhaps better engineered now than it was then. There was a lot more muddy bits then than now. I was a cyclist in those days, and I was cycling out to Mulgay, and I thought, what are all these funny little brown posts with hexagonal thistles on them? I didn't really know what it was, and I found out more about it, got the wee brown guide that was published by the Countryside Commission in those days, and I just read it cover to cover and thought, I want to do that. So I got my cheap millets rucksack and off I went with a schoolmate, and it was a fantastic week, and yeah, made me really, really inspired with the outdoors, and here I am. I remember one time when I was going towards Inveroran, the 15-year-old doing the walk, a post had been pulled out of the thing. I thought, oh, where are we going? So we just looked at the route that we thought it was, walked down it, ended up in a bog, had to make our way over to the road and got to the Inveroran Hotel very, very wet. And then we discovered that everyone else who was behind us had been staying at Bridge of Orkney that night had followed us. So there was all these really bedraggled people got into the Inveroran Hotel.
Guts, yeah.
So yeah, we probably could have done with an arrow at that point.
It's just day two of my walk up the West Highland Way, and to be honest, it's taken me this long to find my spot. Prior to this, I've kind of been route marching, whereas now I've more or less got my hands in my pockets. It's quite nice just to be able to kind of wamble about, just do things in a relaxed manner. And I make my way along the shore of Loch Lomond here, and I'm going through oak and holly trees, birch, alder, rowan. The undergrowth is covered in bracken, which is changing colour. You just get the sound of the wind and foliage. I've actually heard more birds than I've seen. Started off first thing this morning, leaving Drimmen, with the sound of tawny owls. Then up in the moor, I heard a raven. I was sitting beside the loch there, just watching skeins of geese go past. There was a cormorant fishing. It popped up just in front of me, about 30 feet away. Actually, it caught a fish too, so I was just showing off, I suspect. There's robins flitting about. I can hear a wren singing in the background there just now. And there was a beautiful wee male. I think it was a brambling. It's a little pink, grey and white bird. Really sweet wee thing. It was just flitting from branch to branch. It seemed to be as curious about me as I was about it. Quite unconcerned. I've slowed right down. I mean, today I do not need to hammer on, so why would I? Tomorrow might be a different story altogether.
High and wild the path will turn over many an aimless pun to Loch Abbatouk for
William
McQuillan. How are you doing?
You?
Very well, thank you.
Where Ben Nevis greets the sun, there my Highland way is done, but the beauty is ever in my mind. I'll be there.
I was just wandering along, enjoying the birdsong, when it occurred to me, who actually owns the West Highland Way? Who's responsible for maintaining it? Here's Gordon Watson again.
Well, different ownerships.
I wish folks could have seen that smile. There's a long story behind this one.
Lots of different ownerships. When the West Highland Way was first opened, there was lots of management agreements in place to be able to secure the route with private landowners. But that's been superseded by the Land Reform Act. And, you know, as a long distance route, the West Highland Way is a core path. So, yeah, the access authorities are really the ones that are taking on the maintenance. So the National Park has the route really stretching along Loch Lomond side up through to Tynedrum. And obviously local authorities, Highland to the north and Eastern Bartonshire and a few others, Stirling to the south. So we have a sort of coordinating group that oversees what's happening.
Next obvious question is, surely those councils have got a lot on their plate at the moment.
Yes, I mean, you know, obviously different sized organisations have got different resources. It's really ourselves, Highland Council, that are doing the lion's share. Eastern Bartonshire obviously has that crucial start point as well. So, and obviously some of the most heavily used parts of the West Highland Way are in the National Park. Lots of people climb Connick Hill, for example, and do short stretches. And so those are the bits of the route that have the most wear and tear and need the most looking after.
And you get a lot of rain around here, which just, you know, it's interesting. I've seen stones that have been set at one stage into the path to actually, you know, like gully stones and things. And they're now sitting proud by about 2 feet, which means that 2 feet of path has gone missing at the same time.
Yeah, I think there's a combination of obviously just the sheer number of boots, but also some of the stretches of the path are on the loch side. And when you've got high loch levels, you get erosion that way as well. There's some parts of the route we've had to effectively retreat from the loch side in order to secure a new route. So and also in some of the hill stretches like Connick Hill, where just gets wider and wider the more people come up, and then you get some water erosion, and before you know it you're having to do a major repair. So and we've spent considerable amounts of money on those sorts of issues over the years.
There's something perplexing me, though, because I mean, yesterday I set off from Milgai and it was busy. I mean, there were times when you could look along the trail and it was like a pilgrimage route. You know, you could see lots and lots and lots of people. Today, not so busy. But even with that busyness yesterday, I was talking to some of the businesses, you know, the bag carrying services, 20% of what it would normally be. One of the cafe restaurants, 40% of what it normally be. You're thinking, is this sustainable long term?
Yeah, it's obviously an unusual year in terms of what the pattern of use is and who's coming to walk the path.
But there's no sign, Gordon, that it's going to change next year either.
No, indeed. And I think, you know, using the 40th anniversary to promote it, as the whole tourism economy is promoting itself to Scots to come and enjoy what's here. So I think it's part of that package of, if you can't go on holiday abroad, you want to get a bit fitter, you want to enjoy Scotland's landscapes, but not from a car, then what better way than to go the West Highland Way and other long distance routes as well, because it's a great experience and it's obviously important to keep support our local businesses.
I'm conscious of the fact that I might come across as being a bit negative so far, but actually this is the end of day two for me. Mm-hmm. I've had a whale of a time. I mean, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been stopping regularly. The scenery is fantastic. The hotels are absolutely on the money. You know, they're properly organised. There's heaps of hand sanitizer and people are being segregated. At no stage have I felt unsafe. No stage at all. And I suppose it's just trying to get that message across, saying there's a hell of a lot of fun to be had out there. You just need to play by slightly different rules.
That's right. And you know, in terms of the way the virus seems to work, being outdoors is the safest place to be. So having a holiday on the outdoors, you know, businesses have really adapted well. They've been really creative about how to provide a service. Obviously, you know, from their point of view, get the capacity that they need to be viable. They have to get the right measures in place, and it's been amazing to see what people have managed to do. So you're spending most of your time out of doors, and it's a great way to see the landscape, and we've got too many cars coming to see the landscape at the moment. We can only accommodate so many, and walking is just such a great way at a slower pace to really absorb your surroundings and enjoy it rather than out the window of a car. So it's you know, beneficial for so many ways.
However carefully you choose your boots and socks, because socks are damn near as expensive as boots nowadays, your feet get hot. You know, hot and a bit sweaty. And I think I've just redefined ecstasy. Just as you leave Balmahar, you kind of cross a headland, drop down the other side, then quite a sort of steep, wooded valley. This is the Millennium Forest. So it's things like oak and alder, birch and rowan, native species. And then you come to this little beach on the shores of Loch Lomond, and there's nobody else about. I can't hear anybody. And although, yes, it's an overcast day, the sun's breaking through in places, so the hills right across the other side of the loch are lit up, but it's not hard light. You know, it's quite soft, it's quite gentle, it's kind of pastel shades. Greens and blues and browns, russets. I've got my socks and shoes off. And all I want to do is just stand on my feet in the loch, just paddle a bit. Oh. Oh, that's fine. Oh. Seriously, it's just little wavelets rushing over my feet. It's like angels blowing gently on them. That's just lovely. Oh. I forgot to mention, just walking down into Balmahar. Again, you come down through a sort of wooded glen. And it was windless. Of course, this time of year, the leaves are coming off the trees. It was just gently snowing leaves. Every so often, you kind of stir yourself and grab one. That is such a delight. I've made it up as far as Rower Denon, and I can hear traffic again, but the traffic is actually on the other side of the loch. The further north you get, the thinner the loch is. So basically, I don't know, I'm guessing here, it'd be less than a mile, I think. I can actually see the traffic from here. That section from Balmahar to Rower Denon is deceptive. There's some really pretty wee beaches and bays on that, and it's well worth your while actually just sitting, taking the time, listening to the water, just absorbing the atmosphere. And it crossed my mind at one stage that the further you walk, the more you start to appreciate the little things, and sometimes it can be very little things indeed. I've been using walking poles, or trying to learn how to use walking poles. Everybody says it's a good idea. And then adds, for a man of your age. Yeah, thanks very much, boys. Anyway, I was covering muddy ground, and it was going thump, 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 thump. And then I came onto slightly harder ground, and it went thump, click, thump, click, thump, click. And I'm going, what's happened there? Looked at the pole, and I'd lost the rubber ferrule at the end. You know, the wee knobby bit at the end? And I thought, what a pest, honestly. So I went on, thump, click, thump, click, thump, click, for fully 3 miles. And I was going up this really steep section. There are some hideously steep sections, actually, there. Quite unnecessary, to my mind. But more or less on eye level. And I looked at the path, and there was a ferrule lying there. Completely different ferrule, but exactly the same kind. Exactly the same kind as I had on my other pole. So I picked it up, shoved it on, started going thump, 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 thump again. And I can only hope that whoever was heading in the opposite direction and lost theirs managed to pick up mine. It's a sort of kit karma on the West Highland Way. Anyway, I'll wait to get a cup of coffee and my tea. Tomorrow is another day, and it's likely to be a long one, too. I'll be there, me as cloudy. And we'll have more from the West Highland Way next time on the Scotland Outdoors Podcast. Please get in touch with us and tell us where you listen to this podcast, or indeed if you've ever done the West Highland Way or any long distance route anywhere. You can email outofdoors@bbc.co.uk. I'm Mark Stephen. From all of the team, thanks for listening.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.